This is Studio One at CBS. The Columbia Broadcasting System invites you to Studio One for the fifth broadcast in a new series of hour-length versions for listening of celebrated stories, novels, and plays. We introduce the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
Tonight, a romantic drama, a very wonderful story by Sinclair Lewis. And just a word about it before we begin. It's a portrait of a recognizable type of married couple, the kind of Americans who went on the kind of European spree that became almost a commonplace phase in the lives of our middle rich back in the middle 20s. The story is Mr. Lewis's Dodsworth, one of the many distinguished bestsellers by America's Angry Man, Pulitzer and Nobel Prize winner who published his 20th novel this week. Santos Ortega and Anne Seymour are recreating Sam and Fran Dodsworth for us tonight, with Anne Burr as Edith and Everett Sloan as Kurtz. And now we fold back the calendar 22 years to bring you their lives and loves and times.
From Studio One, CBS presents Dodsworth by Sinclair Lewis.
What, Fran?
Haven't you finished?
Just about. My dinner jacket has a spot on the lapel.
How do I look? I had this frock especially made for tonight.
Tubby Pearson spilled a cocktail on me at the country club last week. Meant to have it.
Darling, you look wonderful. Simply wonderful.
Sam, I want to talk to you.
What have I done now?
Well, I didn't want to say anything about this until you had the plant sold, contract signed and everything, but, well, you finished all that this afternoon.
I'm a free man. Ex-president of Revelation Motors.
Sam, I've been thinking lately. This may be our only chance. The only time you'll be free till we're both so old we won't enjoy wandering. Well, let's take the chance. Before you get yourself tied up designing some new kind of automobile.
What are you talking about, Fran?
I want to go to Europe.
You mean across the Atlantic? Europe?
London, Paris, Italy. I want them all. The whole world. I want splendor, great horizons. Oh, Sam, can't we look for them together?
What about the children?
Oh, they'll manage. Brent's in college. He won't need us. And Emily's to be married next month. After that, she won't need us either. We can leave right after the wedding.
I don't like this, you're saying they won't need us. I want to be needed, Fran. I want to be...
I'm the one who needs you.
My darling, I know I haven't been giving enough time to you, what with all the details of selling the factory. But that's finished. Now I just want to sit around and talk to my wife, get to know her again. How's my tie?
Fine.
Well, look at it.
Oh, it's fine, Sam. Oh, I've got to do something besides sitting around Zenith. I'm a very active female. I want to travel. I've not seen Europe since I was a girl, and you've never seen it at all. Let yourself have a good time for once.
Would kind of like to look over the Rolls-Royce and Mercedes plants over there.
Sam, if we go to Europe and you spend our vacation visiting factories...
Now, don't get bothered. We'll talk about it. Well, I'd better go downstairs and show that extra butler how to fix a dry martini.
Oh, please, don't drink too much tonight.
I never in all my life drank too much.
And try for once to talk about something besides motors and stocks.
I'll try.
Sam, what about Europe?
We'll talk about it later, after the party.
Sam, this is the best martini I ever tasted.
Should be, Tubby. Made it myself.
Where's Fran? Still crimping?
She'll be down in a minute.
This is quite a night for you, Sam. Pulled up Revelation Motors to a big corporation, and now you've sold it for a fortune. I hear they've even offered you the job of vice president in their new company.
That's right, Tubby.
Well, are you going to take it?
Haven't decided. Don't know whether I'd like being a small cog in their big machine. I'm used to building things, doing them myself. I don't think I'd ever like sitting in an office, giving orders to others.
Looks to me like you've joined the unemployed.
Oh, I'll find something to do. I have an idea of a new car I want to...
Oh, hello, Tubby, Mrs. Pearson.
Emily, how's the girl?
Aren't you staying for the party?
Sorry, I've got a date with my future husband.
Well, couldn't you and Harry stay here tonight?
We're driving over to look at a house.
In all this snow?
Oh, you really must be in love.
We are, Mrs. Pearson.
Well, don't stay out too late. Your mother always worried.
Dad, you look wonderful in that dinner jacket, like a grand duke or something.
Don't waste your compliments on your father. Save them for Harry.
He's waiting outside. I'll have to run. May see you later.
Tell him I said drive carefully.
Looks like a perfect marriage. Emily and Harry McKee.
You always say that, dear, before every wedding. No, not that this one won't be.
Emily married and Brent at college. Yes, I'd better begin to dig in against the lonely 60s.
Sam Dodsworth, what a thing to say.
So glad you could come.
I'd give my right arm to have a dress like the one Fran's wearing.
Let go.
I'd give my other arm if I had her figure.
Never mind, honey. I like you the way you are.
Here's the perfect husband for you.
Matilda, Tubby.
Fran, it's a wonderful party.
Best martinis west of New York City.
Well, has Sam told you the news? News?
You mean about selling the factory?
No, about us. About Sam and me.
Now, Fran, really, I don't
We're
think...
going to Europe. Europe, the grand tour.
Oh, now, Fran,
What do you know? Sam Dodsworth, you're a lucky guy. You sell your factory this afternoon and make a fortune. You've got a beautiful wife, and now you're going to Europe with her. You're a very lucky guy.
Yes, Tubby. I guess I am.
Are you asleep?
Not yet.
I want to know. Are we going or not?
Going where, Fran?
To Europe.
Well, the new motor company tried to tie me up to a contract. They want me to come with them right away. I said I'd like to rest for 6 months before I make up my mind.
Then we can do it. 6 months in Europe.
Do we have to decide tonight?
No, I won't be able to sleep unless we do. Oh, Sam, we've done the first part of our jobs, made enough money, brought up the children. We've done all these things, yet we're still comparatively young.
Comparatively? I'm 50 and you're 41.
I'll not be 41 until next winter. Oh, Sam, let's have a new life. Let's not settle down into dull contentment. Let's leave this stupid old town with what one single solitary plan in our heads, beyond landing in Europe and coming back when we please. I'd even like to sell this house so we won't have anything to bind us.
You're not serious.
I am.
But we couldn't do that. This is our home. The safe harbor waiting for us to come back to. We've built ourselves into this house. It's the only place where we can slam the door and tell everybody to go to the devil. The only place we can be ourselves.
Well, maybe we'll find some new selves. In Europe, a woman at 40 is just getting to the age where important men take a serious interest in her. I only have 5 or 10 more years to continue being young. I won't waste them, can't you understand?
You think that just going to Europe will change everything? Make you young again?
I want to be free to wander wherever I like, not settle down. Oh, I could love you so much more if we weren't a pair of old horses on a treadmill.
I didn't realize we were on a treadmill.
That's just it. You like it.
Fran.
Do you think you'll ever learn to enjoy things? You don't enjoy life and you don't want me to.
All right, Fran. This is what you want. We'll go to Europe.
Sam Dodsworth, I love you. I love you.
Enough. Let's go to sleep.
Sam?
Yes?
You're not going to make me feel guilty later on. Complain at me for having dragged you away from Zenith. You really try to enjoy yourself.
Darling, I'll enjoy myself if it kills me. And it probably will.
I love this music.
So do I.
It's from a show Sam and I saw it while we were in New York. Marilyn Miller on a white horse.
We'll be docking at Southampton tomorrow. I, for one, will be very sorry.
So will I. Oh, Major Lockett, you've made this a perfectly wonderful voyage.
Oh, I'm glad. Tell me, where are you and Mr. Dodsworth going?
Well, we've no plans beyond London.
You'll stay there a bit?
Oh, there aren't too many Americans about. Why is it that the traveling American is such a dreadful person, hunting down culture and so terribly grim about it?
Why is it that you other Americans, you nice ones, are so much more snobbish than the English?
Are we?
Appallingly.
Yes, I suppose you're right. We are, aren't we?
After you've lived in London for a year, you'll be more British than I am. I've knocked about so much in the tropics that I'm not too representative.
You really think so? That I'll become British?
I do.
Fran! Fran!
What is it, Sam?
Pardon me, Major Lockett. I want to take my wife out on deck.
Fran, we've sighted land.
Oh, that's
You've got to see it. I want you to share this experience with me, Frank. A first sight of England.
But, Sam...
You'll excuse us, Major?
Certainly. Shouldn't you wear your wrap, Mrs. Dodson?
Never mind the coat. Come on, Frank.
Why did you have to rush me off like that?
Well, you've got to see this, Fran. Some sort of a lighthouse. A first glimpse of England. Here, through this door.
Oh, it is cold out here.
There it is, darling. Mother England. Land of our ancestors. Home.
Really, Sam, you were born in Zenith and your father before you.
Think what this means. Robin Hood, Oliver Twist, and Shakespeare. Hey, I just remembered. I've got some sort of cousins living in a place called Durham. Lost track of them years ago, but they're my people.
Sam, I'm freezing.
You know, darling, I'm glad we came. Grateful to you for persuading me. Look there. Now you can see the shoreline.
Am I intruding?
Oh, not at all, Major Lockhart. My husband has just discovered England.
Go ahead, laugh.
Here's your wrap, Mrs. Dodsworth. I was afraid you might need it.
Oh, that was very thoughtful, but I'm just coming in.
Look at that, Brad. The moonlight on the cliff.
I'm going in, Sam.
Go ahead. I'll stay here for a bit.
Let's say we have another go on the dance floor.
Oh, I'd love it.
Look at that. Mother England. Fran, is that you?
I'm here in the bedroom.
What is it? What's wrong?
How was your first bachelor dinner in London? All those American businessmen. Well, it just seemed like a meeting of the Rotary Club.
Fran, what's the matter with you? Why are you crying? Anything wrong back home?
I've always said it was really a compliment to a woman to be insulted.
What are you talking about?
Maybe it is a compliment, but... Oh, Sam, I don't like it.
Who insulted you?
I never gave him the slightest of excuse. Oh, how I hate that man. He's a supercilious fool, that's what he is.
Who is?
It was after the opera. I suggested to Clyde, Major Lockett...
Lockett, what's he done?
Well, I thought we might go somewhere and dance. He said all the good places were noisy, so couldn't we just come up here and talk?
You brought him here?
I didn't see anything wrong with that. I was a little tired. At first, he was awfully nice. Told me about his childhood. How lonely he'd been.
Really, Fran,
well, you know what a fool I am about children, how much I suffer at just the least little suggestion of anybody not having a happy childhood. I almost cried. He told me how much it meant to him just knowing me. The next thing I knew, he'd thrown his arms around me and was trying to kiss me.
Kissed you, did he?
Well, of course, I pushed him away.
I should think so.
When he found that I was most certainly not going to let him kiss me, he got awfully nasty. Said I'd let him on. Sam, do you think I let him on?
I don't know, Fran.
Oh, I'm so tired.
I'm not quite sure how to deal with this sort of thing.
Deal with it?
Well, I suppose it's up to me to go out and shoot Lockett or something.
Oh, don't be silly. You'll do nothing of the sort.
I wouldn't be like a fool, but if you want me
I most certainly do not.
Matter of fact, I feel sort of sorry for Lockett. Can't entirely blame the man.
Samuel Dodsworth.
Well, you flirted with him the whole time we've been in London. And before that, on the boat.
I've done nothing of the sort.
You had some excuse, I suppose, for thinking he could grab you off. You have such a nice way of always bawling me out in front of him. Making me look like a Midwestern bull in a Bond Street China shop.
I never said one word to embarrass you, not a single word.
Oh, yes, you have. Lockett naturally supposes that I'm a fool.
Anything I may have said was entirely for your own sake. Try to help you make a good impression on people, and you say I've bullied you. It's unforgivable of you.
You're constantly hinting to anyone who'll listen that I'm merely an ignorant businessman. Yet anybody with a foreign accent, any loafer living on women, is a gentleman and a scholar.
People who don't understand you think you're vulgar and ill-bred.
Meaning... Lockett?
Sam, this is Europe, not a small town named Zenith.
And I suppose you're an authority on Europe?
Well, I certainly am, comparatively. After all, I've been here before.
When you were a small child. Even Europe changes in 30 years.
My father's house was always full of Europeans, and I've read more French and German and British books than you've read detective stories. Sam, you never could be a European.
Fran, stop sneering.
I am not sneering.
You're completely right. I never could be a European. Why should I? I don't want to be anything but what I am. I'll never try to prevent you from being as European as you want. Just don't take your spite at Lockett out on me.
I'm sorry. I'm terribly ashamed.
For Pete's sake, stop crying.
Sam, I want to leave England. I couldn't sit here with that man thinking he's laughing at me and talking about
me. You wouldn't do that.
Never knowing when I might run into him. I don't want to stay here.
All right. Let's go home. I've had enough. Let's go back to Zenith and open the house.
Oh, no, not yet. We've only been away a month. Couldn't we go to France?
France?
You promised me we would.
Well, that's what you want.
I do. We can start out all over again. I won't make a fool of myself this time. You'll like Paris. Brioches and kiosks, red plush wall seats and fat lady cashiers.
All right, Fran. We'll start all over again. In Paris.
Say tout.
Madame will ring if anything more is desired.
Yes. I mean oui. Merci beaucoup.
Bonjour, madame.
Sam, breakfast here.
Coming.
Shall I pour your coffee?
I make it black. I don't want it half warm milk.
I can't understand why you don't like cafe au lait. I adore it. Oh, look at these wonderful croissants. Oh, I feel so luxurious having breakfast in our suite.
I suppose they brought an American paper?
Yes. Here's the Tribune.
Paris edition. At least I'll be able to read part of it. Wish Emily would send me some papers from back home.
Scrambled eggs?
Please. Well, what's planned for today?
Well, I have a fitting at 11 for that new evening gown. This afternoon I'm sitting again for my portrait. Then tea at Madame de Pinable's, but... Oh, by the way, you're invited.
Oh. How'd that happen?
Really, Sam? Well, they always ask me to bring you.
I don't like that woman.
You say such a thing. You don't know her.
I don't like the look of her. That dead white skin and the dyed red hair.
You liked my hair when I had it done last week. Of course, mine was only touched up a bit to bring out the natural color.
That woman looks like a freak. So do the people she runs around with. I don't like any of them. Who is she anyway? This is Mrs. Pinable.
Oh, how many times must I tell you it's Madame de Pinable?
She's Mrs. Pinable to me. Well, far as I can tell, no one's ever seen Mr. Pinable.
René's salon is one of the most fashionable in all Paris. I was fortunate to meet her through that princess, what's her name?
How do such people live, this Mrs. Pinable?
Madame de Pinable.
Where does she get her money? Does she have an income, alimony, or does she get commissions from all the shops she steers you into?
What difference does it make where she gets her money?
Maybe she's an international spy.
Oh, now you're being ridiculous.
Never knew anyone to talk so much about themselves and tell you so little.
René's been wonderful to me, taking me to the right shops, introducing me to the right people.
Right shops, right people. Doesn't anybody do anything wrong over here? Well, at least this is what you wanted. Right. Are you happy?
Completely, darling.
That's the important thing.
What are you doing today? Sightseeing?
I don't know. Maybe I'll go back and see that cathedral again.
Well, you've already seen it once.
With you and Mrs. Pinable. I'd like to go back and spend some time just walking around.
Without your wife's chattering to bother you.
I didn't say
that's
that.
What you meant.
Frank, can't we have one breakfast in peace?
It's entirely up to you. Heaven knows I have a headache all day when we quarrel at breakfast. More eggs?
No, but I will have another cup of coffee. Fran, I've been meaning to talk to you.
Yes?
About going home.
Oh, no, Sam. Not yet. I want to see a lot more of Europe first. Why, I've hardly even started. I want to see Italy, the Mediterranean, maybe Egypt.
There are several things I ought to settle back in Zenith. I'd like to see Emily and her new house. Now, there's my class reunion in June, and... Would you pass sugar? We could still have a month in the Mediterranean and get home the middle of June. Sugar?
Oh.
Thanks. Reunion isn't until the 30th.
I don't want to go home yet. Maybe we could persuade Emily and her husband to come over here. You might give that to them as a present, a sort of second honeymoon.
And couldn't we go home for a couple of months and then start out again? Maybe go west this time. I've always wanted to see the Grand Canyon, then go on to California, Hawaii, the Orient.
Bad food and tropical fever. You'll go without me.
All right, Fran, forget it.
Will you meet me this afternoon at René de Pinable?
Couldn't it be someplace else? The New York bar?
I'll be at René's for tea, and I'll expect you to pick me up there.
Very well. Tea at Mrs. Pinable's.
Ah, Monsieur Dunsworth.
Oh, hello, Madame Pinable.
So glad you could come.
Juan, she said you were not certain that you could make it.
I just...
Some business matters to arrange.
The only business I did today was with myself. Oh. Sort of talking things over. Getting things straight in my mind.
Oh, that is sometimes very good to do.
Matter of fact, I've spent the whole day in the cathedral. Notre Dame, walking and climbing and looking. Quite a place. Those old boys really knew how to build posterity.
Monsieur Dodsworth, you do not like me.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, it does not matter. I happen to like you very much, oui. I always like honest people, and you are probably the most honest man I've ever met. Even your dear wife, I think, maybe she does not know how honest you are.
You make me sound very stuffy.
That was not my intention. I meant what I said to be a compliment.
I'm sure you did. By the way, where is my wife?
Over there, surrounded by all those young men.
Oh, yes, I see.
Juan has overwhelmed them, especially the young aviator.
The dark fellow with all the hair?
That is Captain Giocero. He's an Italian, very fine old family.
Our friends back home would hardly know Fran.
Oh, boy, she has changed, even in this short month that I have known her. So much gayer, happier, younger.
Yes, yes, she is.
Could I give you some tea, Monsieur Dodsworth?
No, thank you.
A cocktail for
him? Nothing, not a thing.
Monsieur Dodsworth, do not let your wife change too much.
Frankly, I don't want it to change at all.
I have seen so many of your American women come to Europe, seen them swept up into a new kind of life. Some of them never go home again.
Friend and I are going back to Zenith at the end of this month.
Good. I would not care to see Fran become one of these women who do not go home. They are like wanderers, traveling from the nightclubs of Paris to the nightclubs of Rome, always traveling and with no place to go. The Lido, the Riviera, Biarritz, always the same tired faces, the same weary laughter.
Would you give Fran a message for me?
But, of course, Monsieur Dodsworth.
Tell her I'll meet her at the hotel.
Do you not want me to call her? I'm certain she has not noticed that you are here.
No, don't bother. I've an errand to do.
Oh, I'm so glad you dropped by and that we had this little chat.
Yes, so am I. Very glad.
After all, I do think you could have waited for me, Sam.
You seem to be very happily engaged with all those handsome young men.
I didn't even know you were there until Renee told me. Here, will you snap my shoulder strap?
No.
Renee said you stayed about 5 minutes chatting with her, which I must say surprised me.
There you are. All snap.
Thanks. Well, why didn't you wait for me?
I had an errand to do.
Errand? Oh, really? I had to get that nice Captain Giocero to bring me back to the hotel.
Young man with all the hair?
Italians have such breeding. He could call himself Count Giocero if he wanted to.
Doesn't he want to?
I'm not going to let you get me into an argument tonight. I won't, Sam. I won't.
I don't want an argument either, friend. Believe me, I don't. I only want to talk for a bit. Seems we're never alone long enough to say two words.
When we do, they always turn into a fight. You weren't like this, Sam, back in Venus. I really don't know what's changed you.
It's you who's changed, friend, not I. I don't think I've changed at all.
You see? Whatever I say, you twist it around and throw it right back at me. Well, I'm not going to let you tonight. I intend to have a luxurious dinner at some little cafe, and then we'll meet Rene and Captain Giocero at the ballet.
The handsome captain again?
They're dancing L'Après Midi tonight.
Dancing what?
Oh, that thing about the fawn and the scarf.
Couldn't we go someplace else, just the two of us?
Certainly not. Rene got a box at the ballet just for us.
All they do, Penabel and her whole gang of hangers-on, gossip and chatter and show off like a lot of exhibitionists. They're rotters, all of them. Just a bunch of wasters.
René de Penable is the intimate friend of the most exclusive aristocracy.
So what?
Will you kindly stop sneering? You really don't do it very well, Sam. Irony is not your long suit, my dear good man.
Hang it, friend. Don't talk to me like
that. Then don't act like that. And don't say these horrible things about my friends.
They're not your friends. These slick young men hanging around you, flattering you. They're no good. Nothing but a lot of butterflies.
Well, thank heaven for the butterflies. I'm awfully tired of sensible, worthy ants. Sam, if we're going on together, we might just as well have this out.
That might be a very good idea.
Well, let's get it all straight. Exactly what we want, you and I.
Yes, let's do that.
All I want to do is enjoy life, have a little fun while we're in Europe. And all you seem to want is to keep me from having it.
That isn't true, Fran, and you know it.
You criticize everything I say and everything I do. You dislike my friends, and you keep...
And I say they're not your friends.
It's just no use trying to talk to you.
No use at all, unless you talk sense. You're certainly not talking sense when you call these sponges your friends.
I've stood for all the insults that I can for one evening, and I do hope you won't keep arguing all through dinner.
I'm not coming, Fran.
What?
I don't feel like dinner.
Very well. I'll dine alone and go on to meet the others afterwards. I'll make your excuses to Renee and Captain Giacero.
You needn't bother.
All right, I won't.
Fran, I don't like what you said. But we're going on together. Is there any question in your mind that we're not?
I'm not going to argue with anyone. It's already given me a splitting headache.
Before you go, I want to tell you. I cabled home this afternoon.
Oh?
That's what I did when I left Mrs. Penable's. I cabled Emily. Told her that we're coming back in the next boat.
We're doing nothing of the sort?
I've had enough of Europe, Fran. I'm going home.
Then you're going without me.
You mean that?
I certainly do. I promised Renee de Penable to take a villa with her near Montreux for the summer.
I see.
Why don't you go home by yourself? It'd have to be good for us both to be apart for a while.
I don't want to go home alone, Fran. What would I tell our friends leaving you over here? What would they think?
I don't care what they think. Anything you please.
I've reservations on the Aquitania for tomorrow. Fran, never in our entire marriage have I wanted anything so much as I want you to come home with me. Please, Fran, please.
No, Sam, I'm sorry I'm staying here.
Very well.
You won't change your mind about dinner and the ballet?
No, I'll stay here and pack.
Good night, Sam.
Good night, Fran. Enjoy yourself.
Once, I realize how much I'll miss you.
You have to cry, Fran.
I'm sorry. I know I swore I wouldn't. Oh, Sam, I almost wish I was staying with you. Perhaps I'll not stay here very long after all. Perhaps I'll come home.
When?
I don't know. Maybe next month. Sometime this summer. Meanwhile, darling, you have the very best time you can without me.
I think I've had enough good times for a while.
Give my love to the children.
Of course.
Remember me to the Pearsons, especially Tubby. Tell them they promised to come to Paris while we were here.
I'll tell them.
Oh, my dear. Try and forgive your idiotic, feather-brained wife.
It isn't too late, Fran. They could send your trunks over later. You could still come.
Please, darling. Let your little wife have a foolish fling.
That's the way you want it.
I did make a real home for you, didn't I, all these years? And I shall again, but not just yet. Please.
All right, Fran. You stay here as long as you want.
Take care of yourself, my dear.
And you. Let me know if there's anything you need. Money or anything.
So write me every day and... Don't be angry with me.
I'm not angry, Fran, believe.
Well, be angry if it will make you any happier. Oh, Sam.
My darling.
You're a big angry bear, but I adore you. Go on now. Get on the train before I bawl.
Goodbye, Fran. Come home as soon as you can. I hope it won't be too long.
Here we are, Dad.
Home. Wonderful word.
It doesn't seem possible the house has been closed up for nearly a year.
Seems longer to me. Mother and I went away.
You better leave this door open and let in some air.
Nothing quite so desolate as an empty house.
I'll have everything back to normal in no time, Dad. Servants are coming in tomorrow, and I'll drop in every day and see how things are going. Meanwhile, you stay with Harry and me.
You'll get tired of me.
Oh, no, we won't. Harry's delighted. Says it's marvelous to have you with us. We wish you'd stay until Mother gets back. Why not leave this house closed up, Dad? You know how Mother loves to do the house over every year. Let her open it when she returns.
No. I decided this morning I'd get everything in order. I'll write Fran and tell her we're doing it.
You think maybe that'll bring Mother home?
Yes, I... Yes. Just I hope it will.
Dad, you're not happy without Mother. Why doesn't she come home?
Your mother wants to see a little more of Europe, so...
I've had a feeling there was something more than that.
Honey,
how empty a house can get when it isn't lived in. Seems like somebody else's home, some strangers. Not mine.
No wonder. Covers on all the furniture and no curtains at the window. Dad, why don't we get new curtains for the living room?
You mean replace the ones we had? Those reddish ones with the big flowers?
Yeah, surprise Mother with new ones. Something very fancy.
Oh, I don't know. I always liked those old curtains.
Very well, darling. We won't change them. We'll do something else to surprise Mother.
How about a new rug for this hall? I never did like the old one.
Perfect. It'll be the first thing Mother sees when she comes in the front door. Dad, when do you think she will come back?
I don't know, Emily. Look here. Blinds are getting cracked. That ought a new one.
Maybe she'll come back since she had a falling out with Mrs. Knobble.
She wrote in the last letter she might return to Paris.
You liked Paris, didn't you, Dad?
Very much. It's like a series of villages, narrow streets, little shops. Emily, I'm going back.
I thought you would, Dad. How soon?
As fast as I can book passage. Tomorrow, if possible. I'm going to get your mother and bring her home.
This is Studio One at CBS, presenting as its fifth broadcast in a new series of hour-length dramas, Dodsworth by Sinclair Lewis. The story will resume after a pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. The fifth broadcast of Studio Columbia's new hour-length feature production. We continue the story of Dodsworth.
Sam, you haven't told me much about the children.
You haven't asked me. They're fine. I wish we could have gone someplace not so crowded our first evening back so we could talk.
Well, this is one of the smartest restaurants in Paris.
I'm sure it is.
What about the Pearsons, Matilda and Tubby?
They'll be over sometime this month.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Yes, it's all planned. Tubby's got some business to do in London. He'll come out of Paris for a week or so. Oh,
I do hope I won't have to introduce them to all my friends.
You won't have to introduce them to anyone, friend. In fact, you don't even have to see them if you don't want to. I'll show them around. Might be the best way. I don't think the Pearsons would like most of your friends.
Oh, you aren't going to start that again.
I'm not going to start anything, friend.
Would Madame care for more champagne?
Oh, yes, thank you. I hope it's properly chilled by now.
Oui, madame.
Too bad you had trouble with Mrs. Penable.
I did not have any trouble, as you put it, and I don't care to discuss it.
What about plans, friend?
Wine for you, monsieur?
Yes, thanks.
I really don't have any plans.
Well, I've come back with two plans for you.
Oh?
Either come home with me or let's go on traveling.
I'd like to visit Germany. I met a charming man, Kurt von Oberstdorf, who has some sort of ancestral palace near Berlin.
I've no desire to go to Germany.
You'll meet Kurt tonight. He should be here later.
I suppose you won't even consider going home?
Anything more, monsieur?
Not just now, thanks.
Very good, monsieur.
Why must you talk to me like that in front of the waiters?
Talk to you like what? There's only one waiter.
Oh, they're terrible gossips. Half the people in this restaurant will know we're having a fight.
I, for one, didn't know we were...
I'm not going home yet, Sam. And if that's what brought you back to Paris, you've wasted your time.
Look here, Fran, I...
Will you please not raise your voice?
You won't come home with me.
I won't.
And you won't travel except to Berlin where you know this Kurt, whatever his name is. That right? You want to stay here in Paris?
I do.
Fran, I don't propose to go on sitting by letting it turn into a social climber.
Sam Dodsworth... Do you think I have to climb to meet people? Climb down, if anything.
Oh, now, Fran, really?
I do find it rather more amusing to associate with civilized people than with people like Tubby Pearson and the others back home. Do you mind?
Yes, I do. I mind very much.
Good evening, Fran.
Oh, Edith Cartwright. Well, when did you get back to Paris?
Just today.
Oh, how I hated to leave Italy. I don't believe you've ever met my husband.
Mr. Dodsworth?
How very nice. Darling, this is Mrs. Cartwright.
And unless I'm very mistaken, Mrs. Cartwright, that's an American accent you have.
Sam, what a thing to say.
Nonsense. I've never tried to lose my accent. You're quite right, Mr. Dodsworth.
Edith's father was Assistant Secretary of the Treasury under President...
I'm afraid I'm very unlike father when it comes to money. My attorney says I shall be penniless before I'm 50.
Oh.
How long are you staying in Paris, Mr. Dodsworth?
I don't quite know. I'm trying to persuade Fran to do a bit more traveling.
Well, if you come down to Venice, do look me up.
Oh, I doubt that we'll bother with Italy. If I go anywhere, I'd like to see Berlin.
How is Kurt? Is he still in Paris?
Yes. He promised to meet us here tonight.
Well, I must go on. Some friends are waiting in the other room. Good night, Fran.
How smart you're looking.
And you.
We'll look you up if we come to Venice.
I think you might like Italy, Mr. Dodsworth.
I'm sure I would.
Well, good night.
Good night. Who is that woman?
Cecil Cartwright's widow. He was something or other in the British Foreign Service. They traveled all over the world until his death. I think she's a bit of a snob.
Seemed quite the contrary to me. Thought her manner rather pleasant. She's certainly the best-dressed woman I've seen ever since I've been in Paris.
That black dress? Oh, why, it's frumpy.
But you said... Oh, you're being polite. I think a woman looks very handsome in black. Always said I liked you in black. Well, shall we order dinner, or do you want another bottle of champagne?
I thought we might wait for Kurt. He said he'd try to have dinner with us.
Who is this Kurt I've been talking about ever since I arrived?
Kurt von Oberstdorf is a member of one of the noblest families in Austria.
Oh, then he's not German.
No, he simply works in Berlin.
Work? You mean he has a job?
With the International Tourist Agency, head of their banking department. He's in Paris on business.
Well, he's the first European man of your acquaintance I've heard of who earns a living. I should like to meet him.
And when you do, I hope you won't insult him, at least not in the first 5 minutes.
Who was the last of your friends that I insulted?
We won't go into that, Sam. I don't want to argue. I'd hope that you'd try and be more agreeable now that you've come back.
Look here, Fran, I won't...
Oh, Fran, my dear.
Oh, darling, you're late.
Oh, your friend.
Mr. Dodsworth, for of course it is you. I hope you do not mind my kissing your wife's hand.
Go right ahead. I'm sure she enjoys it.
Sam, this is Kurt.
So I gather. Waiter, another chair.
Oh, don't shout. Everyone's looking.
How else do you want me to do?
You are absolutely right, Mr. Dodsworth. The only way to get things quite frequently is to shout for them.
Your chair, monsieur.
Pardon. You see...
Waiter, another bottle.
May I step in, monsieur?
Well, I hope I did not keep you waiting.
We wouldn't order dinner until you came.
Mr. Dodsworth, I am enchanted to see you here in Paris. I know so much about your Revelation motor car. For 6 years I have driven one.
Indeed. How's it holding up?
Well, it belongs to a friend. But the other day I drove through the Champs-Élysées at 150 kilometers an hour. I was arrested and fined.
I shall report this to the company. Tell them what a good advertisement you are. Have them reimburse you.
That's an American for you. Always thinking of money.
And I suppose you aren't an American?
No. Your wife regards herself as very European. But she's completely American.
Oh, really, Kurt?
She is as shiny as an automobile headlight.
That's very good.
She's also beautiful, Mr. Dodsworth. Your wife has perhaps the most exquisite hair I have ever seen. But she would be most unhappy if everybody did not acknowledge that fact.
Kurt, in another minute I shall be angry.
You see, Mr. Dodsworth, now she thinks I have insulted her. A truly European woman would be delighted. Fran is only making believe and she thinks herself European. She is lovely, really, because she is American. I admire all things American. Your huge buildings, your adding machines, and your central heating. Oh, your beautiful central heating.
Yeah.
Mr. Dodsworth, I would like to drive you in my Revelation car that belongs to my friend out into the country.
That would be very kind of you.
Perhaps tomorrow. I know an amusing place where we could have lunch.
What do you say, Fran?
If you wish.
Splendid.
What's that you're doing, Fran?
You mean putting perfume on my hands?
Never saw you do that before.
Well, all the women do it in Paris.
In case they get their hands kissed?
Oh, really, Sam.
It's good. He's quite the fellow for kissing hands.
It's the custom over here.
Oh, I don't mind. It just seems a little silly. I do think he's sort of bossy, though.
Good. Bossy?
Always telling us where to go, what we're to do.
But he's only doing that for us.
Yeah, he likes his own way.
Well,
all right.
You.
All right. Let's not have an argument.
Oh, that suits me to perfection. Well, there's Kurt now.
You ready?
Yes, I'll be right there.
Come in.
Ah, good evening, Sam.
Come in, Count.
Oh, please do not call me Count. I shall be glad if you call me Kurt.
Very well. Kurt?
You know, we Austrians are almost like you Americans in our fondness to call by the first name people that we like. Well, is our wife ready?
Our wife?
Oh, I hope you do not mind my little joke.
Not at all. Our wife will be right here. That you, Fran?
Yes, darling. I know I'm late, but Kurt wanted me to see some paintings in the little old shop. Anything wrong?
I just got a cable from our son-in-law.
Oh?
Emily's had a baby.
Baby?
9-pound boy.
Oh, Sam, no.
Nothing to worry about. Emily's fine, and so's the baby.
Oh, this is terrible.
And what do you mean by that?
All my friends in Paris, they think of me as young, and I am. Oh, I am. Now I'm a grandmother. I'm only 41. Oh, Sam, can't you see?
I'm afraid I can't.
It's horrible. It's the end for me, the end. Oh, please try to understand.
I am trying.
I was so young when I married you, and it isn't fair for me to be a grandmother. Not yet. It isn't that I'm not a happy family, but I have my own life, too.
How does this affect your life, Fran?
You mustn't tell Kurt.
Kurt?
You mustn't tell him, not ever.
Yes, Fran. I see what you mean. Well, I'll go cable Emily and Harry. Tell them how happy we both are.
And you won't tell Kurt. You've got to promise me.
No, Fran. I won't tell Kurt.
Of course, darling. That would be wonderful. We'll dance until dawn. 7 o'clock? Yes, that would give me loads of time to dress. I have a new gown you haven't even seen. Yes. I've been saving it for just such an occasion. All right, darling. Expect you at 7.
Now where's Kurt taking you?
Dancing. A new club's opening on top of Montmartre. He's picking me up at 7.
He's picking you up?
Now what's the matter?
I want to stay here and get off some letters. You realize you haven't written Emily since you had the baby?
You write for both of us. Emily'd rather hear from you anyway.
Listen, Fran, isn't it time to think about going home?
You aren't going to start that all over again. The way I feel, I don't care if I ever go back to Zenith.
Fran, do you mean that?
I certainly do.
I'm willing to do anything to make you happy. I adore you. You know that. You're everything I have or want. Only we've got to cut out this nonsense of being wandering adventurers. We've got to go home.
Now you listen, to repeat your favorite phrase. I'm not going home. Not ever.
Fran.
Kurt loves me and I love him.
What are you saying?
You've no complaint. You've never really known me. You've never known anything about me.
I'm beginning to think I haven't.
You've never known what sacrifices I made to cover up your stupidities, to help you keep your dull friends and your dull work and your dull reputation.
Don't, Fran, don't. Don't say this.
I'm going to divorce you.
You're sure? Kurt wants to marry you?
Of course he does. Kurt has everything I've always wanted. Culture, position. Oh, I admit I'd like to be a countess. Though how unimportant that part is, you could never understand. Kurt's going to take me to meet his mother.
Now, there's just one thing, Fran. Wait a month before you do anything about a divorce. Be sure this is what you want. Before you do anything so final.
I'm sure right now. But if you want it that way, I suppose I can wait.
I'll instruct my bank to send you $10,000 a year.
You're too generous.
That, with your own money, you and Kurt should be able to manage.
Oh, Sam, if I could only make you see that it was your own ignorance, your stupidity, and not my fault.
Mr. Dodsworth.
I didn't hear you knock.
I didn't. I knew that you would not want to see me.
You're quite right, I don't.
I see you are packing.
I'm moving to another hotel.
Mr. Dodsworth, you do not understand this. I am not a gigolo or a Don Juan. And I do love Fran.
Good.
But if I told you how much I like and admire you, you would think me a fool.
I would.
I have kept telling Fran that she does not appreciate you.
It's very kind of you. Would you hand me those shirts?
Oh, yes.
Thanks.
If I could only bring you two together. Fran needs your steadiness. If I could bring you together, keep you both my very dear friends, I would go away. Believe me, I would leave this very minute.
Suppose I called you bluff. Suppose I said, all right, go ahead. Leave Paris.
I would do it.
I believe you would.
If, in turn, you would promise me to be always more tender with Fran. Well, Mr. Dodsworth, shall I go? Shall I leave you here with Fran?
No. And I apologize for what I said.
It is I who came here to apologize.
Doesn't look as though Fran and I could ever get together again. If you do love her, don't let any consideration for me stand in your way. Now I've got to finish packing. You go to Fran. She's right. You'll be able to make her happier than I ever could. Good luck.
Dear.
Haven't had so much fun in a month of Sundays, Matilda.
That's it, dear. You have a time for yourself.
You don't mind Tubby enjoying himself, Matilda?
Heavens, no. I never really complain. I don't think much of females who fight with their menfolk.
Absolutely right.
You know, you're quite a gal. Quite a wife.
I like to see Tubby happy, having a good time.
Waiter.
Sam, when are you going to let yourself be happy again? When are you going to get wise and chuck Fran?
What a thing to say, baby. You shouldn't talk like that to old Sam.
I know why Fran didn't come home to Zenith with you. Why she's gone off to Berlin. She didn't want to be bothered with Tubby and me, that's what.
Baby, you're talking too much.
Well, this is something I've been wanting to tell Sam for a long time. I've seen you change, Sam, these last years. You've been getting more silent and more sort of scared and unsure of yourself. While Fran's been preening her feathers and feeling more and more that she was the one who kept up your position.
Oh, I've been kind of tired and confused, that's all.
Sam, you're humble and kind and good. Too good. When I think how Fran's treated you, especially the way she acts towards you in public, I could just wallop her.
No, baby.
Fran ought to thank her lucky star she's got you. Sam, have you ever been interested in another woman?
No, never.
Well, I'm making a private bet with myself. 6 more months and you'll begin to look around. 6 months or sooner.
No, I'll never do that.
And if you do, you'll be surprised at the number of nice women that'll fall for you.
I bet they would have that.
You staying in Paris, Sam?
No. Thought I might do a little more traveling. Maybe go south to the Mediterranean, Italy.
Well, remember what I said. Look around, Sam. Have a little fun.
I'm afraid I've frightened some of your pigeons away.
It's a wonder to me they can fly. They're so fat.
Everyone who comes to Venice must feed St. Mark's pigeons. You know, it was so surprising to meet you this morning.
You know, I almost forgot your name, Mrs. Cartwright.
Where are you and Fran staying, and why hasn't she phoned me?
Fran isn't with me. She's visiting friends in Berlin.
You're here alone? Then you must certainly come to tea, whenever you say.
I'm free any day.
Well, what about today?
I'd love it.
Come along, then. I've a bit of shopping to do. You can pick out what you'd like to have for tea. There's a wonderful pastry shop across the square.
Mrs. Cartwright, you don't know it, but you're about to save my life.
I've had enough, thanks.
Another pastry, then.
I've had four.
They won't keep, you know.
Then just one more.
Do you know many people here in Venice?
Not a soul. Till I met you this afternoon.
Most of the fashionable set have moved to the Lido in this warm weather, but I prefer Venice. Later on, I may take a villa near Naples. Nothing smart, just comfortable.
Very unlike my wife's friends in Paris.
You mean René de Benard and her crowd?
Found out some sort of a fight with the Penabo woman. They're the ones I meant. I hate them.
I expect there are many others who share your feeling.
It's a magnificent apartment you have here, Mrs. Cartwright.
It's old and damp and badly in need of repairs, but I love the huge rooms, the mosaic floors, the quiet, faded walls.
I've enjoyed being here. I don't want to be impertinent, but something I've been asking myself. Now I'd like to ask you, as American, the same question.
Yes?
Why do you stay on in Europe? What do you find here?
Peace and quiet. America terrifies me. I feel insecure there. Everybody watching you, criticizing you, unless you're buzzing about doing something important. There's no privacy there. And I'm an extravagant woman when it comes to the luxury of privacy. For instance, you're the first American I've ever invited here for tea.
I'm indeed honored.
There was something about you that night in Paris. In that crowded restaurant, you looked so lonely, so forlorn. Tell me, Mr. Dodsworth, why do you stay in Europe?
Well, that's kind of hard to say. I came abroad because of Fran. That was last year. Right now, I really don't know why I'm staying here. I wonder, would you have dinner with me tonight?
That would be very nice.
Maybe one of those restaurants on the canal. It looks like a palace.
No, I'd rather dine here, if you don't mind.
Here?
I have a wonderful cook. Therese is always complaining that I never have guests. She would be delighted if you stayed for dinner. And so would I.
And I still like Italian music better than Wagner. With Puccini, you always know where you stand.
Well, that's one way of putting it.
Look at the moon through that window.
Sorry, I'm much too comfortable to turn my head.
Edith, how many evenings have I been coming here?
I haven't counted them.
Dinner, coffee, and talking until Teresa sends me back to the hotel.
Not beginning to bore you.
Bore me? I've never enjoyed anything so much. I feel relaxed and happy for the first time in years.
What do you hear from Fran?
Very little. She's in Berlin. I get a note about once a week, but Edith, I'd better tell you before you find out from someone else. Fran's left me.
I suspected that the first night we had dinner here.
She's going to marry Baron von Oberdorf.
Oh? So Kurt's finally landed himself a rich wife.
I suppose it's a very ordinary story. Fran's younger than I. I only wish I could hate her for what she's done. I've tried, but I can't.
I know. I'm glad you can't, Sam.
What shall I do? Shall I go home without Fran? Or wait around in case this thing with Kurt doesn't work out?
I can't advise you.
No, of course you can't.
Why don't you come down to Naples with me?
Naples? Are you leaving here?
I've rented a little villa. I'm taking Teresa down there the end of the week, and she could chaperone us and cook for us. Why don't you come along? Say you'll come.
Yes, I'll come.
Well, do you like it?
Oh, it's heaven. Vineyards and gardens, villas overlooking the bay.
I think you'll be happy here, Sam.
I know I will.
Shall we swim this morning?
Why not just stretch out in the sun?
Whatever you say, darling. Sam, the Baron and Baroness Ercole are staying in the hotel across the bay.
Oh?
They're very nice. Shall I ask them here for dinner some night?
Yes, some night next year.
Any special month?
Some month we're not here.
Well,
more coffee, signore?
Sam?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I wasn't listening.
Another cup of coffee?
No, thanks. I would like brandy, though.
Si, signore. Right away.
You're very quiet tonight, Sam.
That's my mood, I guess.
Well, that's a good mood.
Oh, it's wonderful dining here on the terrace. That magical view of the bay. Curious thing, Edith.
Yes?
This house of yours, that I never saw until the other day, it's the first house I ever felt really at home in. I actually dare give an order here. No, I don't want coffee, but I would like a brandy.
I'm sure Fran never meant to be one of those domestic dictators.
Fran? Oh, yes, Fran. Was there any mail today?
You know very well there was. It's sitting on the little table just behind you. You saw the Paris postmark as you came down. That's why you've been so quiet all through dinner.
I suppose I'd better read it.
Do. Get it over. So that we can enjoy the rest of the evening.
Thanks.
The brandy, signore.
Teresa, I believe I'd like a brandy myself.
Si. Si, signora. I'll bring it. Presto.
Poor Fran.
What's wrong now?
She's back in Paris. The Novostov has turned her down.
Oh?
Rather, his mother did. Refused to give her permission.
His mother?
Because of Fran's divorce.
Oh.
Divorce she would have to get before they could be married.
Never considered that.
Now Fran's decided not to get the divorce. She's sailing for home.
Alone?
She wants me to come with her. Because there's a boat leaving Cherbourg on Friday.
If you still love me, come home with me, Sam. Don't take this chance to punish me. Don't make me suffer more than I have already. Come with me, Sam. Otherwise, I don't know what I'll do. Oh, Sam, I do need you so.
Well, Sam?
I'm afraid I'll have to go.
Have to go?
Oh, my darling. I wish there was some way of telling you all that I feel. All that
I won't let you go back to that woman.
Edith.
I won't see you killed by her gay, irresponsible selfishness. Her only thought about anybody is what they'll give her and do for her.
Please.
Listen to me, Sam. Life offers you sun and wind and freedom. Fran offers you death. Fear and death. I've seen how you age 5 years in 5 minutes every time you've got one of her complaining letters. I know what she does to you. Believe me, Sam, you'll not be helping her going back to her. You'll just make her feel all the more that she can do any selfish, cruel thing she wants in life and get away with it.
I know everything you can say and more. Fran's a selfish child. But she's my child. And I've got to go to her. Take care of her.
I thought that someday it would be easy for me to talk to you. I tell you all sorts of things about how I feel and think, Sam. About how good it's been to be with you. About how much bigger you are than you know, not smaller as Fran would have you believe. There are so many things I wanted to say, and now it's too late. You're going back to your wife. Everything's working out as she wants it, what she'll call a happy ending. There's a plane at midnight. Come on. I'll help you pack.
Bless you, my dear. Bless you. Fran, you're looking wonderful.
It's this new suit. Scaparelli, and such a bargain. Got it for almost nothing. I'll bet your wonderful flame, Mrs. That's funny. Never can seem to remember her name, Sam.
Cartwright.
Oh, yes. She's frightfully clever, I'm sure, but I'll bet she'd have paid twice as much for this suit.
Is there more lirage, madame?
No, that's the last, except for my husband's. What about yours, Sam?
I'll tend to it.
I will have everything waiting, madame.
We'll be right down. Sam, you'd better hurry.
We'll make it.
It's nice to be going somewhere again. You can't know how tired I got.
Oh, you were so right about Kurt.
Was I?
I don't know how you guessed it. You'd be the first to admit that usually you aren't too awfully good judging characters. But from the beginning, you were right about Kurt and his mother. The most horrible, awful old stiff-necked woman.
I hate to hear you riding Kurt and his mother like this. They were probably hurt, too.
Oh, you're right, darling. I'll be a good girl, I promise. We both learned lots in all this, don't you think? In the future, I won't be so flighty and you won't be so irritable. I'm sure you won't.
Fran.
While we're in New York, I want to buy some new furniture for our living room back home. French provincial, like I saw here. We don't have to get the real thing, of course. They do wonderful reproductions that last much better.
Emily's getting the house ready for you.
Wonderful. Well, hadn't you better tend to your baggage so we can go?
Fran, I want to talk to you.
Oh, darling, we've days ahead of us aboard ship to do all the talking you want.
I want to talk to you now.
I'm not going to go off someplace and leave you. We'll have whole days with nothing else to do but talk. Oh, come along, darling. You don't want to miss the boat train.
I guess there's no use trying to do this tactfully, Fran. You just won't listen.
Do what tactfully?
It just won't work, Fran. We'll never make a go of it. Never.
Well, what have I done now?
It isn't what you've done today.
Haven't you learned anything? Not one single thing out of all our sorrows.
Our sorrows.
Will you kindly, Mr. Dodsworth, be a little less mysterious and tell me just what it is I've done to hurt your tender little feelings this time?
You don't get me, Fran. I'm not trying to make a scene. I'm not blaming you or criticizing you. But I meant what I said. We'll never make a go of it. I'm not coming home with you.
Sam, what are you doing?
Operator, donnez-moi le long distance. Oh, you speak English. Well, I want to put a call through to Italy.
Sam.
The Villa Ercole at Naples. That's right. Yes, I'll hold on.
Sam! What is to become of me?
I don't know. If I did, I wouldn't have come to Paris. I don't know, and I don't much care.
Oh, you do manage to hurt me. I congratulate you.
Please, Fran, let's not fight.
All this time I've been flattering myself. You really wanted me to come back to you.
I'm not going to be polite, Fran.
I'm sure you're not.
What's to become of you? I don't know. But I guess it will be the same thing that's becoming of you all these years. Yes, operator, I'm still here. Fran, you haven't needed or wanted me, not for a long time. Even back in Zenith, you found people to play with, plenty of bows and such. I suppose you'll go on finding them until you're an old woman.
That's horrid, Sam Dodsworth.
For the first time in all our arguments, I'm thinking of what's becoming to me.
I hate you, Sam. I hate you.
I can't help you anymore, Fran. I'm just your attendant, the fellow who rolls a carpet ahead of you. For you to walk on with somebody else. You could kill me if I let you go on like you've been in the past. I didn't used to mind your embarrassing me. Continually putting me in my place. Didn't even know you were doing it most of the time. But I know now. And I won't stand for
it. All these years when I've allowed not one single soul to criticize you, but I've always taken up for you, even when you were wrong.
It's no use, Fran.
Oh, let's overlook all this. The things we've said, we'll both be sorry after we've thought it over, and I'll come along or we'll be late.
Don't you understand, Fran? I'm not coming.
What'll I say to the folks back home?
I don't care what you say. Tell them anything, the truth. Tell them we're finished, you and I.
I won't listen to this, Sam. I won't.
We're through. Tell them Sam Dodsworth took all he could and he's not taking any more. Hello. Hello. Edith? It's me, yes, Sam. Fran will be going back to Zenith without me. And I'm flying to Naples on the next plane. Oh, my darling. I'm coming back.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.